Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chairman Upton, Ranking Member Rush, and Ranking Member Waxman. This is an important and timely hearing, and I want to thank you for having a balanced approach, not just with the hearing, but with the white papers as well. This has been a process that has allowed all stakeholders an opportunity to get their views across, and we appreciate it. By virtually any measure, the RFS has been an unmitigated success. It has reduced our dependence on imported petroleum, stimulated investment in new technologies, reduced consumer gasoline prices, created jobs and economic opportunity across rural America, saved taxpayers' dollars by lowering farm program payments, and is the only program we have that lowers greenhouse gas emissions. My written testimony and the RFA's responses to the committee's white papers describe many of the benefits of the RFS. Let me focus on one, the success of the RFS in enhancing energy security. Slide one, please. U.S. dependence on imported oil has fallen since the RFS was enacted, from 60% in 2005 to 40% today. But it's important to note that this measure includes net imports of both crude oil and all other petroleum products. If just crude oil is considered, import dependence was 57% in 2012, meaning that the most significant reduction has been in petroleum products, that is, finished gasoline. That's the RFS at work. That's ethanol. Now, Mr. Girard suggests that our dependence on imported oil has fallen because of oil, and indeed, we are fracking more and producing more. But 62% of the new energy production since 2005 has been ethanol, 38% oil. It is ethanol that has driven that number down. Now, my friends in the oil industry want you to repeal the RFS and have pointed to the blend wall as a major reason they can't meet the RFS obligation. So let's take a look at the blend wall. Slide two, please. The green bar is the RFS requirement, the 13.8 billion gallons of corn ethanol that has to be blended this year. We'll sell close to 13.4 billion gallons of ethanol into E10 markets, meeting the obligation for 133 billion gallons of fuel. We'll also sell more than 150 million gallons of ethanol as E85 for flex fuel vehicles, meaning that there's just 280 million gallons of gasoline above the blend wall. That's what the fuss is about. The requirement above the blend wall this year represents less than 0.2% of the U.S. gasoline market. The 3,000-plus E85 retail outlets in operation today would only need to sell an average of 15,000 gallons per month to scale the 2013 blend wall. With ethanol prices today about 60 cents less than gasoline, E85 sales are spiking, and some stations are reporting E85 sales close to 50,000 gallons a month. And with almost 16 million FFVs on the road today, there's enough potential E85 demand for 8 billion gallons of E85. What blend wall? All we need is market access for E85, E15, and other blends, access that is being denied today by an incumbent industry intent upon holding on to its monopoly. Well, they say ethanol, the RFS, and RINs are driving up the price of gasoline. No. Slide three. Again, ethanol is less expensive than gasoline. The RFS is saving consumers at the pump, and there's absolutely no correlation between retail gas prices and ethanol RIN prices. RINs are free. Let me repeat, RINs are free. Ethanol producers are required to give RINs to refiners and gasoline marketers when they purchase a gallon of ethanol. Buy a gallon of ethanol, get a RIN for free. There is a rather thinly traded and opaque market for RINs as oil companies trade them amongst themselves, but if they don't like the price, they can always blend more ethanol and get more free RINs. They don't have to short the U.S. gasoline market, and if they do, shame on them. There's no truth to the notion that ethanol and the RFS are driving up food prices. Slide four. In fact, food prices have actually fallen as the RFS has been implemented, with the lowest food price inflation in the past 50 years, 1%, occurring in 2010. There's no correlation between food prices and growing ethanol production. So what is driving food prices? It's the skyrocketing price of oil, of course. Slide five. Now, there's a near-perfect correlation. When oil prices spiked to $140 a barrel in 2008, so too did food prices. Energy drives the cost of all food items at the grocery store because of transportation, refrigeration, production, and marketing. That's why the RFS is so important. It's the only policy we have to moderate gasoline prices at the pump. Congress did an excellent job crafting the RFS, building in a great deal of administrative and market flexibility to deal with the issues as they arrive. As a result, there is nothing wrong with the RFS. It can't be fixed with what is right with the RFS. And there is no need to legislate changes to a program that is working as designed, even if the incumbent industry bristles at losing market share. Thank you.